Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
This is my Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature's things and the ground he rings, the music of the street. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of the skies and the seas. And the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I can hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be satisfied. Earth and heavenly one. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be satisfied. And the earth and heavenly one. And the earth and heavenly one. Earth and heavenly one.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, team. You may be seated. Now, we were supposed to get back to our discipleship study this week and get back to apologetics, answering the tough questions. But I knew being Father's Day and I had we had a few things to do that I'd probably lose a lot of time in the service. And God put something on my heart to share, and I thought about it, and then I kind of dismissed it, and then it was on me, and I came back to it Saturday, and I said, okay, Lord, I need to speak on this. So I want to look at in the last 32 minutes that we have today. I did promise you last week I'd have you out of here on time. You guys, somebody already reminded me of that this morning. I want to look at how deep the Father's love is. You know, not everyone in this world, and it's happening more and more, not everyone has a good father, human father in this world. There's a lot of fathers that are absent. There's a lot of fathers that are just no good. And like I said, even if you have a good father, no human father is perfect. We make plenty of mistakes. But there are a lot who do not have a father, or father type, or even a role model in their lives. Or they've been betrayed by their fathers. But each one of us has a perfect heavenly Father. And His love never fails. And even though maybe you may not have had the best father, and like I said, a lot of times we kind of compare God the Father to our human fathers. And sometimes that's, in all examples, that doesn't give true credit to God, who He really is. So today, look past your human father, good or not, and let's look at our Heavenly Father and the love He has for you. The Bible tells us this in Romans 8, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The love of the Father is found and demonstrated in and through the life of Jesus. And it's a love like no other. And it's the greatest love. As Jesus said, there's no greater love than when one will lay down his life for another. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's the love that God the Father has for us, who the Son has for us. I want to show you that love this morning in a very simple way. We're not going to be covering a lot of scripture, but we will be covering a lot of scriptural truth. I want to show you that love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." You see, this is what we call agape love. This is the love of God. This is perfect love. This is the love God has for you. Many times when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we see, man, I fall short. And we all do. We want to have this kind of love, and you can have this kind of love. But we always usually look at 1 Corinthians 13 as kind of looking at it through ourselves, and we realize we fall short and we don't love like we should. And there's a part of that, this chapter, that is, it's meant to do that. We should see the mark that we're aiming for, that we want to be like. But first and primary, this is the love God has for you. This is not about where you fall short, because we all fall short, but this is the focus on this love that God has for you. Maybe you didn't get this kind of love from your father, but this is the love your Heavenly Father has for you. And I want to explain it. Love is not a feeling or an emotion. That's why people can fall out of love, because feelings come and go nowadays. Feelings change. Love, true love, is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. It's an action that we act on. We choose. It's a mindset. It's an attitude of the heart. Love is a choice. And God chooses to love because He is love. And God chooses to love each one of us. And He loves you. Love suffers long. Extreme patience. Extreme patience. Long suffering. I think it's a beautiful way to describe patience that doesn't end. Patience that puts up with everything. You see, impatience and frustration that we've experienced from other people, or maybe we've done that with other people, that kind of destroys love, doesn't it? When we're impatient or someone treats us with a lot of frustration. Maybe we fail, and we all do, and someone gets real impatient with us because we don't meet what they're wanting. Or maybe we've done that to people. you don't meet my expectations, so I get frustrated with you. I'm impatient with you. That just destroys any love. God does not have that. He continues to love us no matter our failures. And we will all fail. He doesn't get impatient with you. He doesn't get frustrated with you. He doesn't get fed up with you. When we fail Him, and you hear that voice, that's the voice that says, you're unworthy. God doesn't love you anymore. God is done with you. He's tired of you making the same mistake and all these. That's the voice of the enemy. It's not the voice of God. God never wants to wash His hands of you. No, He's the potter. You're the clay. He wants His hands on you to mold you and shape you. Love suffers long. That's God's love towards you. Love is kind. Kindness is characterized by tenderness, compassion. God's kindness leads us to repentance, Paul writes in Romans. The ultimate expression of God's kindness is providing us a Savior, being compassionate to those who were lost and could not save themselves. That compassion, that tenderness, that kindness is found in Jesus Christ. His death upon the cross, it's the ultimate compassion, saving those who cannot save themselves. God will always show compassion. Always. He comes to us as Abba, Papa. It's that warm, tender connection. He speaks to us in the most tender, non-invasive, least threatening way through the Word. He tells us about Himself. He tells them about us. He speaks to us in that soft voice. God's love is kind, gentle, tender, full of compassion for you. That's the love He wants to show. That's the love He wants to give you. Sometimes people feel like they don't deserve it. Well, we don't. But that doesn't stop God from giving it. Let Him bestow this love upon you. Let Him be kind to you. Love does not envy. True love rejoices when others are blessed. There is no room for envy. There's no room for self in true love. Love is focused on others and not self. Love does not seek to benefit itself. True love and the love of God, He's content. He doesn't need to focus on Himself. He's perfect in all His ways. He has all that He ever needs. And His love is outward. He wants to meet the needs of the ones He loves. That's what true love wants to do. You want to meet the needs of those you love. God needs nothing. He does not need to envy anything about us. He doesn't need anything from us. The only thing He wants from us is us, is you. He wants you. Not because He needs you. As we sang in the song, you don't need us. He's perfect in all His ways. He wants us because He loves us and He knows what's best for us is to be with Him. He wants to bestow His love on you. There's nothing greater to receive in this world than the love of God. He doesn't want to use you. He doesn't want to take advantage of you. He wants you to have Him, the greatest gift ever. And there is nothing in this world that is better than having God the Father's love. He wants you to have Him and for Him to have you. Love does not parade itself. True love is, again, not focused on oneself. Parading, bragging. A braggart is full of himself or herself, magnifying in his own accomplishments, highlighting how good he is, how much he has done for someone, how great he sacrificed or how great he's loved. Always trying to highlight how much better he is than you. Maybe you've run into people like this. God does not do this. God is clear that He loves us and He demonstrates it, but He does not hold it over us. He does not try to show us how short, weak we are, short we fall from His standard of love compared to His. He does not want to beat you down or make you feel shamed and just unworthy. It's not what He wants to do to you. He'd rather freely give you all His love and lift you to the status of a daughter, a son of the Most High. There's not a greater term to be applied to us. It's not about lifting Himself up. He wants to lift us up. Do we deserve it? No. But that's the goodness of God. And He wants to bestow on you, child of God, a daughter or a son. It's the best title we could ever have. He truly cares for you. He's not going to boast about it, hold it over your head, but He will show you in action and in the blessings He wants to bestow. Love is not puffed up, again, prideful, high inflated opinion of oneself. A puffed up person will not serve others. No, they think too highly of themselves. They don't seek to serve, but to be served. And God's love is not, it's not like this. Even though He has every reason to be puffed up, He's not. Because when God became a man, He put on human flesh. He left a high and mighty place, humbled Himself and became a man. And He came to serve, not to be served. Paul wrote in Philippians, He made Himself of no reputation, of nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. Oh, God's not puffed up. His love is humbling, gracious. Jesus did not focus on Himself. He became a servant. And He humbly died in our place. no greater love than that. This is the love that God has for you. Personally, you. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than yourself. And as your Heavenly Father, He loves you. Love does not behave rudely. Have you ever guys ever run into a rude person? I mean, it's pretty uncommon, isn't it? Have you guys ever been that rude person? Wendy has, yeah. I always volunteer her name in my place. Oh, I've been that rude person. Do you know what being rude is? And there's a lot of rude people inside churches. There's some rude Christians. Mean Christians. You know what being a rude, ill-mannered person is? You know what you're communicating when you're being rude? It's all about me. I don't care how you feel. It's all about me. God is not rude. By contrast, this is the exact opposite. God will not belittle you. God will not put shame upon you. He came to remove the shame. He took it upon Himself. Even when we fail Him, He doesn't want to shame you or belittle you. He wants to remind you of who you are in Him. He wants to pick you up. God will not put shame on you. That's the enemy. God will not make you feel unworthy of Him. Even though we are, He will not make you feel that way. Those thoughts of shame and unworthiness, again, come from the enemy. God wants to lift you up. To create in you His very image. Love does not seek its own. Person who demands his own way, who tramples on other people's rights for the sake of upholding his own, or who insists on having his due. We know people that seek their own. It's all about them. And we've probably been that people, that kind of person at times. I know I have. You see, a person who seeks their own is not considerate of other people and what they feel and what's happening to them. God's love is considerate. He cares. And He's willing to love you so much. He's willing to let go of any sort of recognition, any sort of gratitude. He's not loving you to receive anything back from you. That's the perfect love of God. Love that will love without a response back. That's still love. We love those who respond back to us in love. His love has nothing selfish in it whatsoever. He doesn't even need a favorable response back from those whom He loves. And He continues to love them. And then He continues to love them even when they give Him a negative response back. As when they nailed Him to the cross and He said, "Father, forgive them." That's the most negative response you could get from somebody trying to love them. They nail you to a cross. And He continued to love them. God doesn't want to love you to use you or get anything from you. He wants to love you because that's who He is. And He loves you. End of story. He loves you. I know for myself, I can ask, what do you love about me? And it's because there's nothing good. And God tells us there's nothing good in us. Without Him, we are nothing. There's no one good. There's no one righteous. And the best thing we can do, the most righteous deeds we can do, are still filthy rags compared to God. there is nothing about us. And the world wants us to build, love yourself and build yourself up and all this. No, just accept the fact of who we are. Because that makes God's love even more grand. And it is. He loves what's unlovable. And He loves without seeking anything for Himself. Given His life as a ransom. God needs nothing from us, but He wants us to have Him. Love is not provoked. God is slow to anger. I know a lot of people don't think that. They think the God of the Bible is harsh, or at least the God of the Old Testament. Well, that tells me they've never read the Old Testament. God is slow to anger. He's always full of grace. He always shows grace before judgment. Love puts on the brakes when anger shows up. God is not waiting to jump on you and crush you when you make a mistake. Maybe some people have. They're just waiting for you to mess up so they can highlight it. God's not waiting to jump on you. He doesn't want to crush you. He doesn't want to punish you or destroy you. He came to save that which was lost and to love what is unlovable. He's always ready to show you grace and mercy. And when you screw up, when you fail, He's not there shaking His head. There's a hand being extended to pick you up. He doesn't even keep track of your failures as His child. Do you understand that? Love thinks no evil. Some of your Bible says, keeps no record of wrong. God does not throw up in your face when you mess up. How many times you've messed up before? How many married couples, when you argue, someone brings up something you've done in the past? It happens, right? We remember when you wronged us. It's not love, folks. It's not real love. Real love keeps no record of wrong. It's not going to keep bringing up what you've done in the past or the hurt you've caused. It's going to forgive and it's going to let it go. And God says, I'll let it go. It's as far as east is from the west. I'll remember him no more. Satan may be keeping up the toll of how many times you failed, trying to keep you down and show you how pathetic and terrible you are. Not God. He keeps no record of wrong. He doesn't track your failures. And where sin abounds, grace abounds more. He's not giving us a license to sin. We don't want to abuse this kind of love. We don't want to hold grace cheap. But I want you to know when you fail, and we will all fail. God's not remembering, oh, this is the 101 times now. No. Thinks no evil of you. Love not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This is a hard thing for the world to understand, because they say, well, love will accept me and just say, let me do whatever I want to do. No, that's one of the most stupid things I've ever heard in my life. How many of you guys had a parent that says, I love you so much, kid, you can do whatever you want, and I won't put any rules or restrictions on you? How many of you guys had a parent like that? No, because your parents loved you and they put guidelines on you and restrictions to protect you. God's got the truth, and the law is established. It's good. It's righteous. And He's not going to let you just freely do things that are damaging to you and not hold you accountable. He wants to show you grace. He wants to show you mercy. He wants to show you love. He doesn't want to hold your iniquity, your sin against you. But let me be very clear. True love has standards. It's not tolerant of injustice. It's not tolerant of iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Christ didn't die so people could hold on and live in their sin. True love rejoices with the truth. He wants to bring truth into your life. Love bears all things. This here is an understanding of covering. You put a roof over. That's what the Greek here is. You roof something over because you want to protect it. God wants to protect you. Does it mean he won't let things bad happen? Yeah, bad things can still happen because God's got purpose and everything. We trust him with all things, good or bad. All things work together for good. So if God allows something bad into your life, it's not that he's drawing his protection from you. Trust him with it. He's wanting to teach you. He's wanting to grow you. He's got a purpose in everything he does. Trust him. But God wants to protect. He does want to protect you. Love believes all things. This belief means God's not saying, I love you, I believe in you, I think you're just awesome people, and I think if I give you enough encouragement, you'll become great people. That's not what he's saying when he believes, love believes. What this is saying is the love there believes that you, not worthy, but believes that you should be loved. He knows everything about us and still loves us. Love believes all things. Simply stating, God's love can be trusted. His love is pure and offered freely. There is no second guessing or questioning on whether the person should be loved. You're loved. Believe it. Accept it. Love hopes all things. This word expresses more than a wish or a desire, but a confident belief in the unseen. Love always points to a brighter day ahead. God's love only gets better. And it is a promise. As the Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee, God's love is a promise of an eternal future, a hope, a guarantee of an amazing life to come. What we experience now, which is still awesome, only will get better. Finally, love endures all things. Love doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It lasts. During good times and bad times, the love remains. When you're faithful, when you're unfaithful, the love remains. In the wedding vows, a husband and wife will say, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, for sickness and health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. But with God, there is no death do us part. The love will remain forever. It's a choice that God has made for you. He will never stop loving you. His love never fails. Last thing. It means unending, everlasting. Jeremiah says that God has said this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It never ends. It never fails. This is the love that God the Father has for you. Team, come on up. This is the love of God the Father for you. Now, if you reject his love, if you hold on to your sin and you don't want to be loved by him, he won't force it upon you. He wants to give it. But if you've surrendered to him, if you've been born again, the enemy does not want you to grow. The enemy does not want you to know the depths of God and his wisdom and his riches. He doesn't want you to know how much your Heavenly Father loves you. because he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your relationship with him. He wants to stop it before it even gets started. But what you need to know, and people always say God loves you, and it's a true statement, but now you know the love he has for you. Even when you fail, even if you didn't have a human father that showed you this, you have a heavenly father who wants to bestow it upon you. And there's nothing more precious. And this love has been proven to us and demonstrated to us by the appearing of Jesus Christ. John 14, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the visible image of the Father. God, who is Spirit, loves us. And he manifested his love in his Son, Jesus Christ, who became flesh, so we could see and experience and know the love of our Heavenly Father. A love that will never fail you. And a love that gives you hope. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask in this simple little message here, in this simple few verses, so much is there. And I could have gone for so much longer in explaining these things. And there's just so much more to talk about. The depth of your love, Lord, we can't even fathom. We cannot fathom the perfect love. But Lord, I ask you to help us as believers, as those who you have given the title, children of God. Lord, that we will seek and allow you to love us. We may not feel like we're worthy of it, and we're not. And we may never have been loved by anyone else. Or we haven't been loved by this kind of love. Or we've not been able to trust because we've been hurt in the past. But Lord, I ask you to help us to trust you. You can be trusted. And that your love will not fail us. And that your love, Lord, will allow it to come into our lives and change us. It first saves us from our sin when we repent and we put our faith in you. But then that love can transform us. And Lord, that love can be bestowed upon us. And it can be part of the fruit of the Spirit. And then we can love others as you have loved us. Never on the same level, never the same perfection of love, but we can show them love, true love. And Lord, I ask you to help us to do that as a church and as individual believers. I ask you to help us to walk away from here today understanding the deep love that you have for us as our Father. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to be over just a few minutes. Let's sing this last song because we got to finish on this song.
Underneath me,
God. Nothing like it. If you've never experienced it, come talk to me. It's available. It's free. And that's amazing. And don't let anyone, especially Satan, take it away from you. Once you're his child, you're his forever. And he is the perfect heavenly Father. All right, Team Jesus. We got a new week ahead of us. A week to glorify our Lord and Savior by the lives we go live this week. Let us live in such a way that will honor him and glorify his name. Let us live in such a way that people can see the truth in us and hopefully the love of God in us. All those things that we talked about is God's love towards us, but we can try to be that to people. Through God, we can do that. We can be loving, and people will see something in us that they want. And what they want is God. What they need is Jesus. We have the ability to share that with them. If you have an opportunity this week, let's do that. We have a captain, the captain of our souls, who came and he died for us. And now he's the captain of our team, the church. Let's go be that team. Let's go be the church. Let's go live for him this week. Let's honor and glorify him because he has loved us so. And he loves us now. And he's going to love us in the future. So we should go. We should go live for him this week. Have a good, beautiful day. The rest of the day with your fathers. Anyway, every day. You have your Heavenly Father with you. Never forget that. All right, team, let's break out of here on count of three. One, two, three. Great, let's go.